Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, my name is Phil Pulitzer, and I represent the MPCA. There are two questions this court must answer this morning. One, did BFI violate its permit or the section 473.848? And two, is the penalty of $20,000 issued by MPCA?
Well, wasn't this a summary judgment grant, though? So are those the issues we have to decide, or do we have to decide whether there are genuine issues of material fact on those?
Well, in fact, Your Honor, this is a de novo review by this court as to the grant of summary judgment. So under
talking about the denial of your motion for summary judgment then, or are you saying that the grant of the summary judgment for BFI should be analyzed differently? Because
in fact, there is a different standard of review. The standard for denying BFI's motion was whether or not the MPCA introduced sufficient evidence to allow differing parties to disagree as to whether or not BFI violated its permit. Under 116.072, the standard for MPCA to meet its burden is by a preponderance of the evidence. So it is a higher standard for MPCA to carry summary judgment, but it's a lower standard to have denied BFI's motion.
And that reflects the fact there never was an underlying administrative evidentiary hearing in this case.
That's correct, because this appeal is under Subdivision 7. So under that, the second question is whether the penalty was justified. And the uncontested evidence here establishes that the answer to both questions is yes and requires a reversal. Now, in order to establish a violation of BFI's permit requires two elements. One, the disposal of waste, and two, without certification. BFI has admitted to both. Now, in order for waste to be certified, waste cannot be certified unless the resource recovery facilities are operating at full capacity, at which time counties can certify waste in their annual report, and resource recovery facilities will certify waste on a load-by-load basis. The uncontested evidence in this case is as follows. BFI's corporate representative admitted to disposing of waste on a daily basis. BFI's corporate representative also testified they never once sought certification from a county or a resource recovery facility, despite that the testimony from BFI that it was common knowledge both at BFI and throughout the waste industry that resource recovery facilities were operating below capacity. In fact,
everyone on every day?
Not everyone, but in fact, Red Wing was operating under capacity throughout the year. GRE was operating under capacity for many days. And the daily, the monthly, and the quarterly data establish that there was available capacity at these resource recovery facilities to process waste into energy that was disposed of by BFI. Now,
it seems to me that there's some logic to the district court's assessment that this is a whole statutory enforcement scheme that seems to put the burden on everybody except the landfill. I mean, a landfill has no ability to certify, or how do they know on a day-to-day basis whether all of the recovery facilities are working at capacity or not? And given the fact that MPCA has been looking retroactively based on annual certifications from counties, I mean, it just seems to me that the wrong ox is being gored here.
Well, the answer to a couple of those questions is it's simple to know whether they can dispose of waste. Are the resource recovery facilities operating at full capacity? That's the answer. Never once did BFI seek certification from these resource recovery facilities, and those certifications would have been available on a load-by-load basis. The fact of the matter is...
And you know, is it Mr. Pulitzer?
That's correct.
Mr. Pulitzer, speaking for myself only and not the panel, you know, I do see some problems with the court's order, and particularly by not focusing on the facilities, because it seems to me all the discussion was on the counties, and I have some sympathy for your clients, because at the end of the day, I mean, they could have just driven all this stuff up to the facility and say, so, are you taken today? And, you know, they'll say yes or no, or whatever it is they're going to say. But I guess for terms of the posture, I'm not so confident that we can rule as a matter of law that there are no material facts in dispute in your favor, Because I guess I would be concerned, well, I would have some concerns as to whether there's enough in the record to establish whether the recovery facilities, you know, could take the stuff or not take the stuff on any given day that BFI was going. So why wouldn't a proper thing would be, okay, it seems like the district court got it wrong, but we don't find facts up here. We have some concerns about the recovery facilities. Reverse and remand for the ascertainment of facts relating to whether on these given days the facilities, you know, could take the waste, you know, pursuant to the statute. Now, why is that approach wrong?
Well, I would direct the court to MPCA's addendum, pages 33 and 34. On January 2nd, on January 3rd, on January 4th, and I could go on, the evidence is that BFI was disposing of waste. And the evidence in front of the court today is that there was available capacity at GRE to take that waste and process it into energy.
But how is the individual landfill supposed to know about this?
It has a permit requirement that obligates the permittee to take certain steps to comply with certain requirements. One simple method for the landfill would be to make a phone call, to call up GRE and say, hey, are you full? Call Red Wing. It could also be an email to circulate among the resource recovery facilities to understand whether they're operating at full capacity.
And somebody's there to respond.
Yes, in fact, they are.
Better than the counties, who seem to be clueless.
The counties, in fact, were... There are some...
Except for Hennepin, which kind of knew what they were doing, best as I could tell.
There was some improvement that could be done among the counties, but in fact, the counties ultimately got it right. For example, Anoka testified that they looked at the data, and if there's any processing capacity, which there was throughout 2016, they're not going to certify waste. Carver County testified to the same, as did Dakota County. If there's processing capacity, the counties weren't going to certify waste. That was the testimony, and that's how they're supposed to do it. In fact,
So this document I'm looking at on the addendum, dated 1/15/2016, is that... is this looking backwards? I mean, like, when was this document, when was this summary generated?
So this was generated on January 15th, 2016, and did summarize the previous dates, and it was on copy to the counties, the landfills, as well as MPCA. So this establishes...
So this information is available on the day that they're driving up the trucks, and there's someone who can look at this information and tell them yay or nay, because this is right.
That's correct. The counties know, the resource recovery facilities know. The fact is, BFI never sought these certifications. Throughout 2016, MPCA notified BFI that these resource recovery facilities are operating under capacity. This didn't change. Throughout 2016, this is just GRE, Red Wing was under capacity every single day. And that fact didn't change. Despite being notified of that, BFI testified they took no actions to change their waste disposal techniques. They never once changed their communication techniques, despite in their compliance plan indicating to MPCA that communication was going to be a key aspect of their compliance. Now, getting back to what this court needs to review and is the same as what the district court and MPCA reviewed, was their disposal and was their certification? As I mentioned, certification could occur either by the counties under Subdivision 2 in their annual report or in the load-by-load basis by the resource recovery facilities. Throughout the year, this was available. Shifting to question two, is this penalty justified? MPCA issued a penalty for $20,000 and introduced in its moving brief at summary judgment that MPCA considered all the factors such as willfulness, that is that BFI was notified of its violation and took no changes to its practices, and also looked at the economic benefit that MPCA conservatively estimated in the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. BFI never contested that. In fact, for the first time, it argued that the penalty was not justified in a footnote arguing that MPCA's math is sophomoric. However, the fact of the matter is 95% of waste that went into BFI's landfill came from its affiliated haulers, and they were charging $57 a ton. On a single day, on January 4th, for example, GRE operated 386 tons short. On back-of-the-napkin math, 386 times $56 a ton, that comes to $21,616. This penalty amounted to one day of a violation by BFI. Now, a couple points I want to point out.
You know, does the record indicate if that penalty is not reversed, whether that has some, you know, do you lose your license because you got a penalty or?
There's no, I mean, there is a process under the statute and rules for MPCA to revoke the permit, but that is not what's at issue here today. And
well, not today, but, you know, my hunch is it's not just about, well, my concern is it's not just about the $20,000, it's, oh, now there's a penalty, and, you know, now here's the next hearing on maybe revoking their license, I don't know, doing other stuff. So I guess I'm not so sure it's just the $20,000 penalty, it's, you know, what's coming down the pike.
It's compliance.
Yeah.
It's compliance. That's why we're here today, is BFI.
Well, and what happens when you don't comply?
They don't want what happens when you don't comply. And the fact of the matter is, this, I would direct the court to pages 3 through 10 of our opening brief, as well as this court's holding in 2014 in the waste management case. There is significant procedural and legislative and case law history on this matter and how we got here today. The district court failed to acknowledge that. We're here today because BFI has violated their permit. The two questions that this court is faced with is whether they violated their permit and whether the penalty is justified. And the answer to both those questions is yes, based on uncontested evidence.
Well, and again, you're assuming the permit is valid, and that goes to the issue, I think, that the respondent raises about this statute not even applying to landfill operators, and indeed that it is directed to the waste haulers who are in the position to go to the recycling facility first.
Well, I would like to point out two points there, Your Honor. The first is that one of the key differences between the permit term and the statute is that the permit term applies to the permittee, BFI. It says the permittee shall take certain steps. So even if the district court was correct that the statute may not apply, the permitting authority of the agency under 116.07, subdivision 4A, allows MPCA to permit the landfill and issue.
And to incorporate aspects of a different statute that may or may not expressly apply to a landfill?
If the agency determines it's in the best interest of the environment and the people of Minnesota, the legislature under that statute granted the MPCA broad permitting authority. And there's also was a mechanism for BFI to challenge that permit condition or collaterally attack it here today. But that would require an analysis of whether or not the permit condition fits within that 116.07 subdivision 4A. I would also point this court back to the waste management decision in 2014, where this issue was already decided. The issue there was whether or not MPCA's strategy of enforcing section 473.848 against landfills was an unpromulgated rule. It wouldn't be an unpromulgated rule if what MPCA was doing was consistent with the plain language of the statute. This court reviewed MPCA's strategy. It reviewed the 2012 disposal report, which focused entirely on enforcing restriction on disposal against landfills, and held that MPCA's strategy was consistent with the plain language of the statute. If there's no more questions, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Pulitzer. You will have rebuttal. We will have counsel for the respondent, please.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. My name is Greg Broman. I represent the respondent, BFI Waste Systems of North America, LLC, doing business as Pine Bend Landfill, one of four landfills in the metro area, all of whom are in the similar legal or similar legal quandary. Your Honor, the administrative penalty order in this case was correctly dismissed by the district court because it is based entirely upon a regulatory system that requires the metropolitan counties to make reasoned analysis and determinations about whether waste generated by the county, generated in the counties, is unprocessable. And I think, Your Honor, the major flaw in the commissioner's position here today is the definition of what unprocessable is. And waste is unprocessable if there is no reasonably available processing capacity to accept it. And unless I'm mistaken, I don't think I heard that word reasonable come out of my colleague's mouth this morning during the argument. And, Your Honor, I think that, as we will discuss, will become kind of the fundamental flaw in this position. Because the undisputed evidence shows...
Well, would you agree, Mr. Broman, that the available process capacity to accept can be determined either by contacting the county or the resource recovery facility? You can do either. You can find that. Theoretically, you'll be able to get that information from both. Would that be a fair statement?
I would not agree with that statement, and this is why. Okay. You could certainly call up a processing facility and say, do you have capacity available today? You could absolutely do that, although I would point out that capacity, the testimony, the record is capacity changes day by day. It can change hour by hour. You could certainly, though, ask, do you have capacity? But that is not the question that the definition refers to of unprocessable, and that is reasonably available capacity. And that's a determination that the counties and the counties alone have to make under 473.848. There's any number of reasons.
Are you saying you can have capacity, but it's not, I guess, what's the difference between capacity and reasonably available capacity?
You absolutely can have capacity. And the reason is, there's the one factor that is referred to specifically is geography.
What's the difference? Let's start with that. What is the difference between having capacity and reasonably available capacity?
I think capacity would mean that there is actually physical space. This waste can come in the door. But reasonably available capacity is it reasonable to bring waste there? You might have capacity at a processing facility in Duluth or in Moorhead or in Los Angeles, California, but it's certainly not going to be reasonable to put that on a truck and take it all the way across the country.
Well, but so, they're talking about four facilities in the metro area, the furthest of which might be the Red Wing facility. So we're not talking about California or Iowa or anybody else having capacity, are we?
Well, certainly that was a bit of hyperbole. I was trying to throw the point.
Oh, I got it.
However, it is certainly possible that a county could determine that Red Wing is not reasonably available. And in fact, now Hennepin County didn't make that determination in the course of business, no county did, but Hennepin County at its deposition testified, in fact, Red Wing is not reasonably available because it's too far away. And in fact, Hennepin County itself, as the county in the enterprise position, owns transfer stations and owns the HERC facility, they control a lot of waste and they don't send any of that waste to Red Wing because they said it's not reasonably available during their deposition. But, Your Honor, it's clear that the process, the certification system here is just completely broken because by the commissioner's own numbers, there's over 528,000 tons of waste could not go to processing facilities because there was no capacity, reasonably available or otherwise. It had to go into a landfill, yet the counties only certified collectively a mere 830 tons. And despite having the statutorily assigned certification duties for nearly 30 years, the undisputed facts show that counties have never actually made certification determinations, as the statute requires, which is applying this reasonably available
definition. But
doesn't
the statute say county or a recovery facility to certify?
So the statute does allow certification.
Here's my question. It's troubling to me that since 1985, the legislature and many legislatures since then has expressed this policy that this waste be handled in the way that unprocessed waste should not be disposed of without certification. And of course, the disposed of language, I think, came in 89. But, and, you know, here we are 39 years later, and we're still talking about that same basic issue. And what strikes me as troublesome is that we're still where we were in 1985. Everybody's pointing the finger the other way, when ultimately, if the interpretation of the statute now is that a landfill meets the definition of a person, and that it was reasonable for the commissioner to, or for the MPCA to say that a landfill disposes of, their interpretation of that undefined term, disposes of unprocessed waste, then how does BFI avoid any responsibility here by saying, well, it wasn't certified by the county and or a certification proceeding? Why isn't it the ultimate responsibility of BFI to say and to assure when waste comes to their facility that the statute has been complied with? It's baffling to me why we're still trying to answer this question 39 years later.
Well, it's baffling to us too, and there's many parts of that question, so by all means, if I don't get to all of it, please circle back. But I would say several things about that. One, we would love to have the counties have a certification process in place, because then we have what has been missing for 30 years.
But isn't it your responsibility or your client's responsibility before accepting waste and disposing of it to see if it's been certified? I mean, aren't you the endpoint? Doesn't the buck end there?
Your Honor, the counties, the evidence is the counties simply do not do this. The statute is based upon...
I think you're not answering the question, and that is, and I'm looking at your permit right now, or your client's permit, that says, yes, you have to have, you cannot dispose of unprocessed mixed municipal solid waste unless that has been certified as unprocessable by a county, or it has been transferred to a disposal facility and they have said they cannot, for whatever reason, process it. Why? I mean, the second alternative, it seems to me, that is laid out specifically as a requirement on the permittee is always available. You ask the trash hauler who's coming up, let's see your certificate.
Sure. So let me talk about facility certifications, about that, because I think that's clearly of interest. First of all, the fact of the matter is, until the counties gave their testimony that there is no county certification process, as a matter of fact, nobody thought that processing facility certifications was an issue here. I can point to that over and over and over in the record, including the permit itself. And the permit itself states that compliance is based on county certification reports. That's what the permit says. There's correspondence in the record where the MPCA says, we can't even, this was during the time that the compliance plan was being put together, there's correspondence from the MPCA and says, we can't even determine compliance here. That job is for the counties. When we got into litigation.
Well, overall compliance, but in terms of a particular permit, again, I'm going back and I'm seeing that it requires your client to do, you know, it prohibits the disposal of unprocessed waste unless it takes one of two steps, or it gets a certification in one of two ways, and it seems the record suggests your client hasn't tried to do either one.
First of all, there has been discussion about this issue for a decade. There have been numerous meetings. We've tried to work within the industry for a solution to this. So I think there's testimony about that from my clients' representatives, that they really are searching for a solution to this. We don't have one. It's telling that in 130 pages of briefing from the MPCA in this court and the district court, there never is a comprehensive step-by-step indication of what they want us to actually do, which I think then goes into the vagueness argument that the district court never reached. But we as a trawler don't have the ability to move. The record is 150 haulers in Hennepin County alone, 1,500 garbage trucks in Hennepin County alone. We can't move them around the map as a landfill like matchbox cars. There is nothing that we know how to do to comply with this permit. And that's why I think if the permit was off the system, I'm going to get back to the processing facilities in a second. But if the system was operating as everybody believes it should, county certifications, we would have a process in place to go to a county and tell us, is this okay to put this in? Will you certify this as unprocessable? And the counties have to make subjective determinations about reasonableness. It's not a math exercise. They can't just say, yes, there is capacity here. They said, is it reasonable? Again, geography, it's probably not reasonable to sell Anoka County. You have to be sending stuff from Anoka County to Red Wing. But that's a question for the county to answer, and the counties have never answered it. It's not a question for remand to the district court because the statute assigns that determination role to the counties. It could be a county could say, look, you can dispose of waste at the landfill for $55 a ton. It costs us $89 a ton at Red Wing, $75 a ton at GRE. This is the real world. We know that our citizens are going to have to pay for this. A county might just say it's not reasonable in our view, and it's the county's view that matters. It's not reasonable to require our citizens to pay this higher rate. I mean, we don't know what they would decide, and that's kind of the whole point because they've never decided it. One of the elements, I will get back to processing facilities. One of the arguments, or one of the statutory requirements in 116.072 that the commissioner has to prove is not only we violated, but that also we're responsible for it. And I would submit when you have counties have no procedures, have made no attempts, we have Hennepin, Ramsey, Washington, two-thirds of the metro population are saying, we don't even do this, except in extraordinary limited circumstances when we're sending it from our own facilities. So good, final point on processing facilities to get back to that. As I said, this APO was issued, and it was issued on a premise of county certifications, not processing facilities. As far as why they don't work, processing facilities, first of all, they were quite full as a percentage. They don't, you know, they took, I think, over... Yes, they took over 1 million tons of waste. They were short by like 96,000. Their testimony, and we've cited it in a footnote in our brief, and when we cite in the footnote to the various testimony of all the operators is, they will only certify waste as unprocessable if that waste is actually in the gate at their facility, and then we have to ship it out because we can't take it for some reason, which usually is a physical characteristic versus capacity, but not always. That's the only time that they are going to certify. They don't want, nor can they have, another 600,000 tons of waste coming in their gate only to send it out the back door. That just is not a realistic solution, and it's not the solution that the MPCA had any interest in pursuing whatsoever until the counties testified, and it turned out they just weren't doing their job, which I don't want to fault the counties because they've had this supposed responsibility for 30 years, and nobody has ever asked them to do anything about it until now.
Mr. Broman, in response to a question I asked of Mr. Pulitzer on, you know, how do you... Is there any fact questions relating to whether your clients knew that there was capacity available at the resource facilities? He pointed me to the Addendum 34, you know, these emails, at least from GRE Elk River, which apparently were generated, you know, in close to real time. So, like, why can't they rely on this to show that there was capacity and, you know, this is information apparently is generated, so what's the problem with your clients not looking at this and saying, oh, well, I guess we can go to, you know, Elk River today?
It's the same issue. It's that will, for spreadsheet, there are fact questions about that spreadsheet, about
this
whether
would be
that's
the, this would be the time to air them.
but the reason why that is not a fact question precluding summary judgment is this, because once again, that spreadsheet, assuming it's accurate, will tell you whether there is actual physical capacity there, but it will not tell you whether that capacity is reasonably available for all of the various reasons that I've talked about today.
So are you saying that if you get this email, and okay, so you know it shows the numbers, you could your trucks could still show up to that facility and they could say, nope, we're not taking it today, it's not reasonably available?
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is if I'm a garbage truck driving around Dakota County, clear across the metro area, I may go to a county if the system was processing as it should and say, look, we have a garbage truck here, but we don't want to take this garbage truck off the road for the next multiple hours, drive it, I think it's over 100 miles round trip. That's just not, doesn't seem reasonable to us. And it's the county's job to say, yep, you're right, I'm certifying this, or no, you're not, send it up there. My client doesn't use garbage trucks either, by the way. We're a landfill. But that's the difference. And that spreadsheet will not tell you whether the county's view of reasonableness is going to be met. And the last point, again, I would make is that data you're referring to, that was produced in discovery. The MPCA's interrogatories admitted they didn't have those numbers. That was not the methodology they used to issue this APO. Thank you very much, Your Honors.
Thank you very much, Mr. Broman. Mr. Pulitzer, you'll have the last word, sir.
Thank you again, Your Honors. Mr. Broman spoke for 15 minutes, and nothing he said changes the answer to those first two questions.
Well, then what about what he said, that your permit is based on county certification, not resource facility certification? So, and I viewed the permit in some part of the record, and I did see the discussion regarding county certification. So how does the MPCA address that issue in making a claim that there's a violation because resource facility certification wasn't obtained?
Well, I would direct the court to subdivision 3 of the statute. Those facility certifications would be reported to the county and become a part of any county certification. But again, in 2016, waste was disposed. It was not and could not be certified as unprocessable. That's why in 2016 there weren't certifications from facilities, but they would make part of a county certification. Now, the facts are uncontested that there was daily disposal of waste and that BFI never sought those certifications. BFI admitted when Mr. Broman was up here that they could have complied by only accepting waste that came from resource recovery facilities. That's not MPCA's view of the only way to comply, but that certainly is one way to comply. Now, I want to touch briefly on Mr. Broman's comment that the 7 different counties make this determination as to which facilities are reasonably available, even suggesting that a county could determine that a facility in California was available. If there were 7 different determinations as to which resource recovery facilities would be available, the system would be in chaos. Instead, it is MPCA that makes that determination. First, I would direct the court to BFI's compliance plan, which initially was submitted with 3 facilities, but BFI amended that compliance plan in response to comments from MPCA and included it as part of its permit that all 4 facilities are reasonably available. BFI knew it could not dispose of waste unless those 4 facilities were reasonably available. So the idea that the counties make this determination is a red herring. In fact, it is MPCA that makes this determination by looking at where the waste flows. BFI was historically disposed of waste from throughout the state. Waste from as far as Mille Lacs comes down to Dakota County. The idea that the waste can't go to a facility just a couple miles down in Goodhue County is simply not supported by the record. I would also...
Mr. Pulitzer, I had one question on a statement you just made. So you're saying that they've already agreed that these 4 facilities were reasonably available, so then we should not be focusing on this, whether there was capacity versus reasonable available capacity, because they've already agreed to the second part as to those 4 places.
That's correct.
And that was like part of the permit that they agreed? Or no, I'm sorry, a plan? I'm sorry.
It's their compliance plan.
Pre-penalty?
It was in 2015 it was submitted. And the compliance plan is it's cited in our brief. But moreover, I would also direct the court to the 2010 compliance plan, which provides that consideration shall be given, and I admit it's in the passive voice, but the next phrase is that MPCA shall publish a list of facilities annually. I would then direct the court to the 2016 policy plan, which was published in 2015, out for comments by the landfills in 2016. And actually, Jeff Marone, the general manager of BFI, submitted comments on this 2016 policy plan, where the policy plan explicitly provides the MPCA shall determine which facilities are reasonably available. There's no substantive changes. It just turned a passive phrase into the active that MPCA shall be making these determinations.
Well, do they have a choice?
Who? Well, the comment, so what I'm saying is the BFI submitted comments. There were no comments on the fact that there was any type of change. Yet, in a letter to the district court, Mr. Broman suggested that there would be some type of sea change. This is a post hoc litigation position taken by BFI to support their case, where they never once sought certification from resource recovery facilities.
Has the county certification provisions in the statute been there since 1989?
There's been a few amendments, but in substance.
Yeah. So if that's the case, I mean, and maybe this question goes to the seriousness of the violation and the penalty, but if that's the case, if it's been kind of on the books since 89, and this gets back to what I asked Mr. Broman, it's just baffling to me that 35 years later we're still talking about these basic issues. So if this has been the process since 89, why did it take this litigation to bring to light the county's disregard of the statute, and why wasn't the MPCA on that quicker?
Well, I'll direct the court to some recent legislative history with the time I have left. In 2005, MPCA was delegated the authority for this planning process by the legislature. So it wasn't until 2005 that MPCA gained the planning, permitting, and enforcement authority.
Okay, so 14 years instead of 35.
Well, then in 2012, it was directed by the legislature to come up with a plan on how compliance would be achieved. And up until that time, about 2010, compliance was being achieved. The resource recovery facilities were operating at full capacity. But then they saw a drop-off. Resource recovery capacity went underused while landfilling was skyrocketing. The legislature ordered MPCA to come up with a plan as to how this could be reversed. That's where the 2012 disposal report comes in, and it was analyzed by this court in 2014, and that focused on landfills. Following that litigation, which finished in 2014, in 2015, MPCA gave the landfills time to come up with how to comply. 2016 was the first year. So this isn't just, we're here in 2019, this has been a decade of work by MPCA, and by the so it has been a lot of work. And my last comment, I want to just...
You know, I think you are out of time, Mr. Peel. Okay. I've let you go on over a little bit, but I don't want to be too generous.
Thank you for the court's time.